Thank you very much, Giza. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the ALAC monthly conference call on Tuesday, the 2nd of July, 2013. The time is 14:06 UTC, and immediately we'll start with the adoption of the agenda, which you have access to. Does anyone wish to add anything to this agenda? I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so let's go then. Let's get going, and let's move on directly to the roll call, please, Gisela.
Thank you, Olivier. Gisela here. On today's call, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Tijani Benjema, Yaovi Atuhun, Holly Raich, Eduardo Diaz, Evan Leibovich, Dev Anand-Tilak-Singh, Carlton Samuels, Sandra Hoferichter, Natalia Inciso, Renali Abdulrahim will be joining us a little later. We also have Cheryl Langdon Orr and Alan Greenberg, Ron Sherwood, Wolf Ludwig, Sebastian Bachelet. On the Spanish channel, we have Fatima Cambronero, and Natalia Inciso is following via Adobe Connect. We do not have anyone on the French channel. Apologies noted from Julie Hammer, Ali Al-Mishal, Monique Waimaro, and Siranush Vardanyan. From staff, we have Matt Ashtiani, Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Our interpreters today on the Spanish channel are Veronica and Sabrina, and on the French channel, we have Claire and Camilla. Could I also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but to allow the interpreters to identify you on the other language channels, and also speak at a reasonable pace to allow for accurate interpretation. Thank you. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Gisela, for this expert start. And do we have any additional people that have arrived since whose name we haven't mentioned?
Olivier, if I may, we have Kerry Brown, who's joined us as well on the Adobe Connect.
Fantastic. Thanks, Gisela. Well, let's move on to the third item in our agenda, which is a review of the action items from the 28th of May meeting, but also from the Beijing meeting. We've found a set of action items that had been somehow put to the side. So let's start on the 28th of May, and looking at the sheet, the wiki that you can all look at, we'll just check the open action items and the newly assigned action items. The first open action item is for myself to draft a statement of my experiences at WCIT. That's still pending. The second one is for Evan Leibovich and Jean-Jacques Robinat to lead the Future Challenges Working Group on a follow-up regarding the WCIT. That's also pending. That's obviously relating to my action item as well. And thirdly, the revised ALAC rules of procedures are to be translated into the five UN languages and Portuguese. So the first two are in progress. Could I have an update from staff with regards to the third one, please?
Hi, Matt, for the record. In regards to the translation of the ROPs, sorry, go ahead, Heidi.
Yeah, sorry,
Matt.
They're in progress, this is Heidi.
Okay, could I have either one of you speak, please, because at the moment it's Olivier here. I'm afraid I haven't heard either.
Yes, sorry, this is Heidi. They're in progress.
In progress. Okay, thank you. Okay, so then the newly assigned action item is for Olivier to work with staff on a decertification vote wording process and implementation. That's actually done. We're going to touch on this later on in this call. Let's look at the Beijing and ALAC and at-large action items. And there you'll see a whole list of them with some that have been completed and some that are still in progress. We will only look at the ALAC-related ones, And I hope that all of their working groups and their follow-up meetings are looking at their own part of the action items. So first, the ALAC and regional leadership meeting. And on this, Heidi Ulrich is to share the videos and podcasts of the at-large community with Jim Trengrove, Senior Director of Communications. I understand that's been done, Heidi?
Correct, that's been done.
Excellent. Has there been any feedback on this yet? Or
no, not yet.
Are we awaiting feedback? Should we ask?
Yes, this is Heidi. We're awaiting feedback.
Thank you. Next, Maggie Serrad is to look into the issue of the PIC, that's public interest commitments, and enforcement. Have we heard from Maggie on this?
This is Heidi. We have not. We can follow up with her on that.
Yes, please. Yes, that would be good. It's Olivia here. Next, the Gisela Gruber is to organize.
Olivia,
yes. Yes, Alan, please, go ahead. Oh, yes, your hand has just gone up.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alan.
The issue on PIC enforcement has become exceedingly higher in priority given that the board's recent action to have mandatory PICs to address some of the GAC safeguards. That's not passed yet, but they've essentially put it out for community comment or something like that. And to the extent that they will end up using, as is highly likely at this point, mandatory PICs for everybody to address some of the safeguards, how it is they intend to enforce those has just risen, if not by an order of magnitude, then by a lot. So we really need to get an answer on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan.
This is Evan. I can't get into Adobe Connect.
Yes, go ahead, Evan.
I suggest then, whether or not this is something that's followed up, that this becomes the top of the list of our conversation with the compliance staff in Durban.
If I may, it's not only the compliance staff, it's also the board. It's not even clear at this point to what extent compliance has responsibility. That may be the problem, but it's not something they can fix unilaterally.
Then why is Maggie being given the question?
I don't know. But
okay.
She's one of the actors. She may not be the only actor.
Gentlemen, it's Olivia here. If you could say your name before you speak, that would be really helpful for those people listening to you in Spanish or listening to you in French. That was a discussion between Alan and Evan. And I think that the follow-up really is that there was an action item from our meeting with Maggie Serrad in Beijing. So I certainly think maybe a follow-up on this during our meeting with compliance. And we'll, of course, have to be engaged with any public comment process that comes from the board or from the ICANN volunteer side. Let's move on, and let's go on with the next one, which is for Gisela to organize monthly outreach subcommittee meetings that rotate to allow for more global participation. A doodle is to be sent to establish the dates and times. Gisela?
Yeah, Gisela here, Olivier, and this is in progress. It hasn't been completed yet.
Okay, thank you. And next, the ALAC is to look into the possibility of forming a joint working group to look at deep packet inspection. Julie Hammer is currently working on this action item. In fact, she has been in touch with me. And because we've had so much to do before Durban, it was suggested that this specific matter would be picked up after Durban and between Durban and Buenos Aires. I don't see Julie on the call at the moment, so I was going to ask her a couple more words on this, but it doesn't matter. It's basically ongoing, and it's we'll have some proposals by Durban. Okay, further down, ALAC policy discussion part two. Gisela is to update the main at-large working group's workspace and its child pages. She is also to prepare a list of the current members on each at-large mailing list and to send a weekly email to ALAC Announce noting upcoming at-large and GNSO working group meetings. Any update on this, Gisela?
Yes, Olivia, Gisela here. With regards to the weekly meeting sent through for the GNSO and the ALAC, it hasn't been done over the last couple of weeks. And with regards to updating the working group pages, we've got a call scheduled to go over the action items because I'm not quite sure what's required.
Okay, excellent. We'll work on that. I saw Yaobi having put his hand up. Was that to ask a question or? No, please. No as in yes. I mean, as in you wish to ask a question or? Okay. I don't see an answer for the moment. Right, let's move on. So next, Dave, Ananti Lixing is to send a reminder to the mailing lists on how to subscribe to calendars. Dave, you are on the call. Could we have an update on this, please?
Hi, this is Dave Ananti Lixing speaking. I have put some information regarding this on the wiki page. I'll post a link to this. I have not really circulated it to the wider at-large community, though.
Okay, thank you very much, Dave. Is there any reason why you haven't circulated it to the wider at-large community?
This is Dave again. Well, I was thinking of actually doing a sort of screencast or video to show it more visually. So, I mean, right now it's just more text how to do it.
That would be good.
And that would
be great. Okay, excellent. Let's mark this as, let's keep this as ongoing until you send it over to the mailing list, and we will discuss this item in Durban to make sure everyone knows how to use the calendars. Next, Matt, is to work with the committee members drafting an ALAC statement and prepare paragraphs on how the policy issue might impact Internet end users. And you will have noticed that most, if not all, of our recent statements have now included a quick summary on the front page of this. And also, he's also prepared a few paragraphs on some of the policy issues that we've worked on. Do you want to say a couple of words, Matt, and then we'll move on?
Hi, this is Matt. No, I think you covered it, Olivia.
Okay, thanks. So next, looking further down, we have the different working groups, and we'll pass over these. I invite all of you who are chairing working groups to make sure you are aware of your action items here. And then we'll go into the ALAC and regional leadership wrap-up. And there are three action items on the wrap-up. There's first a condensed version of the trademark clearinghouse and ID and variant statements is to be prepared for the public forum. And that was done. And then Olivier is to convey a message to Robin Gross, chair of NCSG, that the ALAC will not issue a joint statement but would like to continue to collaborate. That was a joint statement on policy versus implementation and trademark clearinghouse plus 50. TMCH plus 50, as they called it. But we are collaborating, and there is ongoing work on this. And then the ALAC is to monitor ICANN compliance through the end of the year and assess any challenges in terms of who is and compliance. And, of course, that's something that we have continued doing, and we'll have a meeting with compliance in Durban. Any comments about these? Alan Greenberg.
I just want to express some concern that we never heard about the tool that the ICANN was working on to verify who is in an automatic way and to check accuracy and a whole bunch of other things that was mentioned in sort of an offhand way in, I don't even remember where, in a board report or in a something. Briefing document. I think a briefing document to the
board. Seminar.
Okay, it was in a seminar. Yes. It's Olivia here. I believe it was in a seminar. Carlton, yes, you have.
Yes, it was in the seminar.
Okay. Perhaps this is something we need to to address when we next speak with compliance, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's not 100% clear it's compliance, but it might well be.
Well, who else do you suggest asking, Alan?
No, we can ask everybody. I'm just expressing concern that things are going on about in the rough area of things we were talking about, and yet these surprises come up.
Mm.
That's not transparency.
Thank you, Alan.
That's a good point to make.
And thank you, Carlton. So let's put this on the agenda for the ALAC meeting with compliance. And if we're told, that's none of my work, at that point we will ask, well, whose work is it? And hopefully we'll get a transparent answer. Evan Leibovich, go ahead.
Thanks, Olivier. This is Evan for the record. Perhaps this is an opportune time for us perhaps to go offline, put our heads together, and determine out of all the various people and groups that we are meeting with during Durban Week, we should try and figure out who of them may have a part of the whole piece of this. So as you said very accurately, compliance has a piece of it, but not the whole piece. I think it's even reasonable to ask during our meeting with the board and during our meeting with senior ICANN staff, you know, because it hasn't been carefully delineated, maybe this is just something that becomes a question that we ask to multiple people we're dealing with. So just a thought that maybe a couple of us could go offline either in a Skype chat or something like that and try and figure out how many different agendas this issue has to be on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Evan. There's a suggestion online that maybe we could ask Akram Atallah, who is now the president of the new GTLD division. It's Sebastian who has suggested this. I can go along with your suggestion, Evan, only it sounds as though you're really trying to deal with nuclear physics here. The complexity of the task is going to be quite a challenge. So I'm not quite sure whether...
I almost fear that's by design, and that's something that we, I guess, as at large, have some kind of a responsibility to try and sift through. Thanks.
Okay, Evan, thank you. Then perhaps could I ask you, if you wish to lead that task, to try and make sense of who does what? Is this a reasonable expectation?
This is Evan. I have no problem doing it. It almost sounds like a TV drama where you go out and you're interviewing everyone trying to piece together the scene of the crime. Thanks. I have no problem doing it.
Thank you, Evan. And I would encourage any at-large members who are very good in Cluedo to find out. Cluedo is a game, a board game, which you can do a search on Wiki if you want, to find out the actual... the actual who does what in ICANN. Anyway, let's move on from this and go over to the next part of our agenda. The Executive Committee will review its own XCOM action items on the call tomorrow. So that pretty much closes our action items at the moment. Are there any thoughts or questions about this? I don't see anyone putting their hand up. So let's go to the next part of our call, and that's going to be the review of the current at-large structure applications. Could I ask Matt Eshtiani, please, to explain to us the...
Olivier, is Natalie on the call? This is Heidi.
Who's on the call?
Natalie. Just to let everyone know, Natalie Peregrine is the one who's handling the ALSs.
Ah, perfect. Okay, I was not aware, so...
I don't believe she's on the call.
If she's not on the call, then resorts back to Matt.
Okay, if Matt's aware, Matt, otherwise I'll handle them. Matt's not really involved anymore in this.
Someone handle them, or I'll get Evan to try and find out who handles what.
Okay, this is Heidi. So the recently certified ALSs, we have TEDx, that's been certified, and recently we received two applications. One is for the Euro Individuals Association, and that's undergoing due diligence. Natalie will be speaking with Wolfgang Kleinbeck. with Roberto Giottano in Durban just on some issues on that, but it is going, diligence is continuing. And the second new application is the Australian Communications Consumer Action Network, ACCON, that is undergoing due diligence, and I think that's coming along very quickly. We've already heard back from the regional vice president for that region, so that one's coming along quickly.
Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. If I could call on Wolf Ludwig to say a couple of words on the Euro Individuals Association, because as a name as such, it looks a little bit cryptic. But what is actually this Euro Individuals Association? Wolf?
Thanks, Olivier. This is Wolf Ludwig for the transcript. Well, this is the outcome, actually, of a very long process. When Euralo started to amend its bylaws 2 years ago in 2011 to enable and to encourage better participation of people, individuals who are not part of regular Euralo ALS structures, etc., but who are very active and engaged participants of the Euralo community. And they were always complaining before, well, we can participate, we can even become board members, etc., at Euralo. But when it comes to the General Assembly, we do not have any voting right. And then we tried, according to the discussions we had before with Naralo, who offer similar opportunities for individuals' participation, we said, okay, let's go on, guys. Get your own ALS for individuals all over Europe created and started. Then you can have a first and second contact point. Then you can choose one of you. Once you are certified, who can participate in regular General Assemblies, even including a voting right. This was a background, and after 2 years, surprisingly, it finally happened. And a week ago, I think, Roberto Gaetano, who is the first contact, the secondary contact is Veronica Greto. They submitted the application form to ATLAGSTEF, what is now undergoing due diligence, and I'm looking forward to welcome them soon as a new ATLAGSTEF structure. That's it. Thanks, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Wolf Ludwig. And I see there is a question from Yaobi Atahun. Yaobi, you have the floor.
Yaobi speaking. Can you hear me, please?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you all for the explanation. And it's very good to know about this association. Just an additional question. I would like to know the structure. Where is this association registered? Just for information. Thank you.
Thank you, Yaobi. Wolf, you have an answer?
Yes. Not to waste too much time with sophisticated procedural issues, we have some different models in Europe. The easiest way to get an organization started is Swiss association law, because it needs minimal requirements of bylaws comprising two or three pages maximum. And if one member of this association will be based or has its residence in Switzerland, not even the contact point itself, it's okay. So it's very simple to make it happen according to Swiss association laws.
Thank you very much, Wolf. Next is Tijani Benchamam.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. Wolf, Yaobi asked the first question that I wanted to ask, but there is another one. How many individuals you have now in this association? Since you know them, they were involved in your work, but they weren't a regular member. Now they are in this association, so you may know how many people you have in this association.
Well, Wolf Ludwig again for the transcript. At the moment, we have 8 individuals listed for this start-up. People we all know who have been in one way or the other involved in Uralo over the last couple of years. The idea now is in Durban we can approach any new fellow from Europe and invite them if they are interested to follow up after the fellowship in Durban and the meeting itself to get more involved in on the regional level. They can join the ALS for individuals.
Anyway, Wolf, I want to congratulate you because it was a problem to have individuals since they are not ALSs. Now you found the solution and I find it the best solution. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the compliments, Tijani.
Thank you very much, Tijani, and thank you all for this extensive explanation. And I note also that Yaovi is applauding your work, so well done. We're now going to move into the other part of ELS certification and decertification, and that's the ELS decertification. And that's something which has not been done effectively, and the work to decertify ELSs is actually well listed on our wiki and is alluded to in our bylaws, etc. So doing some work on this, I invite you all to look at the former at-large structures workspaces. The history goes that we received a request from Izumi Aizu to decertify the Internet Users Network in Tokyo. And we also received an email from the Internet Society to decertify the Internet Society Pakistan chapter. Now, work was done by a number of people, including at-large members, and you would have noticed that there was some discussion that took place on the mailing lists. And the result that came out of this is basically that there is a Section 7 of the certification process for at-large structures says exactly what needs to happen. Decisions to decertify an ALS shall require 2/3 majority of the members following a certain number of articles in Rules of Procedure and ICANN bylaws. Reasons for the ALAC to pursue decertification action and to decertify an ALS may include persistent non-compliance with significant ALS requirements. And so the ALAC will provide advance notice to the ALS in question, and that's been done in both cases. And the ALS will have an opportunity to be heard and respond to the ALAC prior to a decision on decertification. So certainly on the part of Internet Users Network, Tokyo, there is a request from the ELS itself to be decertified. So that's done as well. On the part of ISOC Pakistan, the organization does not exist anymore, and there was a number of people who were involved with the organization replied and said they were okay with the decertification. So there was also an attempt to notify the ALS of its decertification. And, of course, the ASOC Pakistan address does not work, so there was a bounce. All of this is found in the wiki space, the former at-large structure workspaces wiki space. And you'll see links at the bottom. There's one for a couple of others that we've managed to find, looking quite carefully at all of our past. There is an organization called Alpha Ready. There is a National Consumers League. There is the Internet Users Network, and there is the Internet Society Pakistan. At the moment, our two pioneers for decertification are the Internet Users Network and the Internet Society Pakistan. If you click on the link, if you are logged in, because you do have to be logged in to the conference, then you will be able to see the details and all of the supporting documentation to decertify those ELSs. The reason for the login is because some of that information might be sensitive or might involve things that people don't wish to share. Some ALSs, when they want to be decertified, may not wish to provide a proper reason or whatever. For whatever reason, keep it more quiet. And so although it's transparent in that we allow everyone who has a login to be able to go and find out why it was decertified, it cannot be picked by Google. So when you do a search on that organization or a search on any of the discussions around that, they will not show up on Google. That's the only reason. And now I open the floor for questions. I see that Alan Greenberg has his hand up. So, Alan, you have the floor.
Just to add what I put in the chat, that Consumers Web Watch should also be in that list. We have been told numerous times they do not exist anymore.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. So that's an action item for staff then, to add Consumers Web Watch to the list of things that ELSs that we're going to have to work on and to collect evidence for their eventual decertification. There are a couple more ELSs looking back at the discussions in 2009, which are also bring more names to the list. So that list is likely to grow, but that's the first step into at large cleaning up some of those defunct ELSs out there. So the process from now, and this is why I thought we would have this immediately, is to basically launch a vote. Alan has put sent two motions for decertification on the ALAC list, that they were seconded, and so now the vote will start. I'm not sure if the vote has started or not. Matt?
Hi, this is Matt. No, the vote has not started, but it will start today.
Okay, fantastic. Alan, your hand is still up.
Yeah, just a question on confidentiality. The restriction on those pages, at least the one I checked, is Confluence users. So it's not restricted to ALAC or anything like that. It's basically anyone in ICANN who uses Confluence. So
that's
not,
right.
So it's not. It may not be indexed, but it's not particularly private. I'm just pointing that out if that's the intent.
Yes, Alan, thank you for pointing this out. There was a discussion with staff that I had with staff, and the question was whether we want to make it just accessible to ALAC members or to at-large or to everyone who has a login. Really, the idea was to try and avoid having the indexing done by search engines, but with regards to everything else, everybody else being able to read this, I think it shows transparency in our community. To not hide things within the ICANN community.
Okay, and we are sure Google doesn't have an ID in Confluence. Google has IDs on many, many, many private systems. That's why I'm asking.
I hear some people, and I have a smile, by the way, it's Olivia here, but you know you might be right. I'm not sure, and I'm not going to answer you on that. I also wonder whether Obama has an ID on Confluence as well, but that's another question.
It's Alan speaking. I'm less worried about Obama and the NSA. I find many things on Google which I cannot see because I don't have an ID on their system, but Google does. So I'm just raising the question. Maybe we should ask staff.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Let's ask. I'm not quite sure whether they will answer you. These are things that...
Or I'll just do a search.
You can do a search. You'll find out that anything that's open that's out there will work. Okay, so expect this vote to start up soon. Next item is item number 5. And item number 5 is the reports from working groups, RALOs, liaisons, and also the ALAC monthly reports. I invite you all to have a look. at those. There is a page that's on there. I'm going to pass over the RALO Secretariat reports. I was just going to give a couple of minutes to Wolf Ludwig, since URALO has held its General Assembly face-to-face, and I think that's of importance. And I was going to give the chance to Wolf to explain quickly what went on at Eurodig during URALO's General Assembly. Wolf Ludwig, please.
Well, thanks again, Olivier, for the floor. Wolf Ludwig for the transcript. We had the unique opportunity again after a couple of years after Mexico 2009 to have our first face-to-face General Assembly organized in line with the last Eurodig in Lisbon, and we succeeded in getting a high mobilization of our members. Actually, we had 27 members participating physically in Lisbon, what makes almost 90% of the membership total. And in line with the General Assembly, we had the unique opportunity to get Fadi Chehade and Nigel Hickson for another pre-event, where we invited our members to discuss with Fadi and Nigel the ICANN strategy for the next 5 years, what was an interesting and encouraging meeting, having most of our ALSs around the table and being in a position to directly ask questions to the top of ICANN. Then we had our regular General Assembly, including a content part where we discussed how better we can involve members in our regular work or improve regional advice to ALEC and to ICANN. What was an interesting discussion, we defined 5 thematic priorities in a bottom-up manner, asking our members. And at the end of the General Assembly, we had ICANN URALO outreach meeting for Eurodig participants and the local community on the roof terrace of the venue. And altogether, I can say it was a very good event, very encouraging, also for a lot of our members. After a given demotivation over the last years, etc., and it was worth to do all the efforts and to make it happen.
Thank you so much, Wolf. And that's very helpful to know, and certainly another instance of saying that face-to-face meetings are always bringing a lot of dynamics to members and certainly helping them understand more what actually goes on at ICANN and how to get involved more with those processes. Any questions or comments on the RALO reports, not only the URALO one, but all of them? I just have to thank everyone for having provided those. And then, of course, we've got the liaison report, and I was just going to ask for a quick update from our GNSO liaison and then our CPNSO liaison. So first, start with the GNSO liaison, Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. The report of the last meeting is up, and you've been receiving a number of emails from me on the ALAC list. I strongly support you. I strongly suggest that people take the time to go and either read the transcript or listen to the MP3. I've identified exactly which range of minutes or pages it is on the discussion of the GNSO on the board reconsideration of the NCSG. The board opinion on the reconsideration of the NCSG, that shuffling in the kitchen is exceedingly distracting. And I have now sent emails on the, because the board changed their rationale for, or at least the board governance committee replaced their whole argument with one that was far less legalistic and far more open to the fact that implementation, for instance, can and must involve the multi-stakeholder model, which is something they've not said before. And there has been a recent motion that will be made in Durban to essentially put a requirement in that the board cannot ignore GNSO advice. They currently can't ignore a PDP. They have to at least discuss and provide a rationale why they're ignoring it. The original BGC response said for any other action of the GNSO or policy developed through non-PDP means, they could just ignore it. And with impunity, the GNSO was asking for a bylaw or may be asking for a bylaw change, which essentially changes that. Since the original presentation, it has been enlarged to include things like advice, not just formal policy advice. I think this overall is a good thing. The board should not be in a position to just stonewall things that come from the community. And I think it's a good model that we may use to request a similar, obviously different worded, but a similar requirement, not with the rigor that the GAC has, but in line with what the GNSO already has for PDPs. That is, if we give advice, and I'm talking about things that we formally label advice, not just a random statement, that to be a process that follows it. So I think it's an interesting discussion. It's an interesting process that's going on, and I think it's something that we can both benefit from, but certainly should be aware of. Thank you. That was, by the way, for the GNSO, where typically items are limited to 10 or 15 minutes. That was an item which ended up taking an hour and 1 minute in terms of discussion. So it's a substantive discussion, and I think it's worth bears listening to. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Are there any questions or comments? Seeing no one put their hand up, I'm glad we are not taking an hour and 10 minutes on this subject, but no doubt we will be following up when we meet in Durban. Next is the CCNSO report, and I believe we have Cheryl Langdonor, who will be able to explain to us what went on in the CCNSO. Cheryl? So far we cannot hear you, Cheryl, I'm afraid.
Olivier Giesler here.
Yes,
Cheryl is on the Cheryl is still on the NomCom call. She's just following via Adobe Connect, so she may be able to give an update after the NomCom call in about 15 minutes.
Okay, thank you, Giesler. Well, we'll come back to this.
It's Alan. Have. She said, "See her page. It's updated."
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, see my page. It's updated. Okay, fantastic. Looking at all the pages, any questions or comments on any of the reports? I must say I have to thank everyone. They are nearly all of the both working group but also secretariat reports and the liaison reports, nearly all of them are up to date, and that's really great. This page is really helpful for people who are interested in the work of At Large and finding out what is going on in each part. So thanks to all of you. Alan, you put your hand up again?
Yeah, just to report on my work assignment. Alpha Ready page is indexed. It was indexed on June 1st. Perhaps that was before the restriction was put on. I don't know. I'm not privy to when that was done. The other pages are not indexed at this point.
Okay, thank you. Right, let's move on then. The items for decision are the next thing, and that's the ALAC policy development activities, where we have, of course, our policy advice development. I invite you all to have a look at the at-large policy development page, which Matt so expertly maintains. Recently adopted ALAC statements, we have the proposed final 2013 registrar accreditation agreement. We have the fiscal year 14 draft operating plan and budget. the new GTLD board committee consideration of GAC safeguard advice, and the implementation of internationalized domain name variant top-level domains. I have to thank the people who have held the pen on these very much. Are there any questions or comments on these four recently adopted ALAC statements? I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so let's move into the statements or endorsements currently being developed or voted on by the ALAC. The first one is explore the draft next generation GTLD directory services model. And that actually is not a public comment process for some strange reason, but that's a question that was sent by Jean-François Baril, who is the person in charge of this new expert working group. And the email was sent a couple of days ago and sent over to us. I believe we have a couple of people, actually no, one person who is in that expert working group. That's Carlton Samuels. Perhaps Carlton could give us a few notes about this request.
Thank you, Olivia. This is Carlton for the record transcript. You're quite right. It wasn't intended to be a formal public comment. We have an interim report which we wanted to put out for additional information from the community. The idea was that if we put out what we have done so far and get some informal feedback from the community as a whole, it would improve the work output towards the final report, which we are contemplating will be delivered for in time for Buenos Aires. So we really intended to gin up conversations in the various ACSOs on what has been done so far. If you look at what there's been a lot of buzz on the output from the technology media, especially. And it's actually doing exactly what we had intended. The staff has put out a report that shows the wide range of discussants that have joined the conversation. We are getting a sense of what grates people about the ideas that we are proposing, and it gives us a reason to sharpen our understanding and our common objective. So it's really very useful to have these conversations and feedback outside of a full public comment. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Carlton. And I note that there is a webinar on the 8th of July, on Monday the 8th of July. I invite everyone to attend that webinar, and certainly staff will be sending reminders on the lists. And of course, there is also a consultation in Durban on Monday, 15th of July, and I'm sure some of our ALAC members will be able to be present there in person. And for those who are not going to be there in Durban, then you can obviously also follow remotely. I'm sure that there is ample remote participation for this. So thanks for this, Carlton. Next is the draft final report on universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, and Rinaldia is to confirm if a statement is necessary. Rinaldia, do you have an update on this, please?
Hi, this is Rinaldia for the transcript. Yes, I do think that a statement is necessary. It does not have to be elaborate, but I think a statement of support from the at-large is important. And I've drafted a simple draft state up on the wiki, and comments from ALAC members are most welcome.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Rinaldi Abdul-Rahim. Next, the initial report on protection of IGOs, so that's intergovernmental organization and international governmental organization and international non-governmental organization identifiers, and all GTLDs. Evan and Alan had last put their hand up to draft a statement. Is there an update on this, please, gentlemen? Alan Greenberg?
We haven't.
Okay, thank you. Could you please get on this?
I guess we need to get onto it this week.
Olivier, Devin, I'll commit. We will get this done very soon.
Fantastic, thank you.
Sorry, I'm practicing making terse statements.
Next, the consultation on the source of policies and user instructions for Internet member resource requests. An email was sent to the Technical Issues Working Group, which has several people who know much about Internet number resource allocations, etc. Lutz Donnerhacker put his hand up that he would be drafting a statement, so we're waiting for a first draft, and staff will publicize this as soon as it is received. The SIGHU's initial report, GNSO policy development process. Alan, again, you've said you would be drafting a statement on this.
Alan actually drafted a statement on that. This PDP has what might be the shortest recommendation. It has one recommendation, and it is very short. I did my best to make our statement on it shorter than the statement. It's on the wiki where it's pointed to. It's very easy to miss. I will read it to you in full. The ALAC strongly supports the recommendation to require ThickWiz for all GTLDs. Period. I see absolutely no reason to make it any stronger, any more elaborate than that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. And I was going to suggest just adding in line with previous ALAC advice, and maybe just list the previous advice that we have been provided. But that certainly does not change the gist of the statement itself.
And the work group has all that, and they've commented on those. So.
Perfect. Thank you.
I like terse, but if anyone wants more words, feel free to change it.
Olivia, oh, good Lord, no. I don't need any more words than that.
Go ahead, Evan.
I support terse. I like Alan's statement exactly as is. Anyone who cares about the history will know what we've said in the past. I think being short, blunt, and to the point is the best thing we can do at this point. We've already talked plenty about it. I support exactly what Alan's done. Thanks.
Plus one. This is Carlton.
Thank you
plus one.
Very much, Evan. And I see Carlton as well agreeing with this. Okay. And I see Rinalia as well, happy with one sentence statement on SIGHU's. Right, let's move on then. The last one in that list is the statement on WCIT outcomes. And as you know, I am still somewhere in the process of drafting a statement. Currently open public comments. There are four of them where it was decided that there would be no statement necessary. There's proposed renewal of .org, .info, and .biz GTLD registry agreements. The review of the material showed that there was no real significant change that needed our input, nothing that raised the red flag and saying, well, we absolutely need to talk about this. If anyone thinks otherwise, then please give us a shout. You can either, maybe you could put your hand up now, or you could just follow up after this call on the email.
Olivia, this is Evan.
Evan, please, go ahead.
Hi. I think the main issue that we've had previously to do with renewals of contracts was when .com came up for renewal simply to suggest that they went to a ThickWiz. Since that isn't an issue with the new ones up for renewal, I think that's at the heart of why we don't really have much to say about them. In fact, when we did make a comment, it was about .com, and it was primarily about WHOIS. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's it. So these, I think, are non-issues in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. Alan?
Yeah, we also had some concern that when a transition was made to allow vertical integration, shared ownership with registrars, that implicitly, if the new GTLD contract was adopted, price caps would be gone, specifically in the .org, .com, and .net contracts. The price caps are still there, so
mm-hmm.
we can be quiet.
Thank you very much, Alan. And let's move on to the last one in this series, the GNSO Structures Charter Amendment Process. And again, here, no statement, as it was felt that these are just complex things, and with the amount of bandwidth that we have, it wasn't worth commenting on, especially since it's an internal GNSO matter. Any comments or questions on these? I don't see anyone putting their hand up. So the next part is part D, introduction to the new at-large policy development early engagement workspace. And I'm going to ask Mata Stiani to take us through this, please. If Matt is online, because at the moment he is muted.
Hello?
Now we can hear you, Matt. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. This is Matt for the record. So to go over this new section, it might be helpful if you open the web page. I'll actually place the link into the into the AC chat for you. So this page stems from Beijing, where it was, you know, when things are starting to come up early, the ALAC wished to know what was basically coming its way. So the page, I actually started working on it last night or 2 days ago. So it seems as if it's still under construction, which it is. It's a brand new page. So if you look at it, it will have the date in which early engagement actually occurred, the community group responsible for the early engagement in the issue. If you click on, for example, let's say the Inter Registrar Transfer Policy Development Process Part D, which I'll place into the chat for everyone, this page follows the same format as all the other pages, which is what is the issue, what are the upcoming important dates, what is the summary of it, what is the ALAC engagement opportunity, is there any additional information, and are there any additional ALAC-related documents or statements, where I listed past statements related to the issues. For this particular one, we haven't actually had anything, but for others where we have, I've listed the past statements.
Okay, thank you very much, Matt. And this, of course, is a page which was developed in response to being able to work smarter, and being able to forecast what work we need to, what work is coming up, but at the same time also help our volunteers in being able to know whether they would be welcome in joining efforts on the GNSO or other policy development work elsewhere. I see that Alan Greenberg has put his hand up. So, Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you. Without trying to put pressure on staff that I know is busy, when can we expect this to be in a state where it's usable? I mean, right now, I see there are duplicates across the lines. That is, the same effort goes under several names, and there's a number of current ones which aren't there yet. So I really don't think we want to publicize this until it is ready, but, you know, specifically, is it going to be ready before Durban or not? Is that realistic?
Sure, this is Matt for the record. It will be ready for Durban. It's in the state of, you know, needing to be updated because I started to do it and was just too exhausted last night. But as for past things that are coming up, I don't think we're going to include that. This is going to include everything starting from May and going forward. If there's something that you think is absolutely missing, then I'm happy to add it. The reason why you see duplicates is because I'm going to be absolutely honest. I didn't know there were going to be duplicates. So the reason why it's even not happening now is I needed to rethink the page structure because I didn't realize how updates were going to come out.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing. I'm just noting, you know, protection of certain international names is there twice. Is there twice. So I'm just pointing out it's still in progress, and I understand that. It's a really useful thing to point our community to, particularly at the stages where they're looking for volunteers, because that's hard information to find in a single place, certainly across the various different SOs and across different even non-SO initiated activities. So it will be useful, and it would be good if it is ready for Durban. I was just asking, is that realistic or not?
This is that absolutely, Alan. That's my goal. So in Durban, I'm sure we're going to show it to everybody. If it's still not to par, I'd like to hear everybody's comments on it, because I mean, this is brand new for me as well.
Thank you very much, Matt.
I'll note Avery's put some things in the chat, which I think are good ideas also. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Alan. Yes, Avery has mentioned, is there a space in that list, the lead volunteer working on something so that people know who to contact, and also the need to have the name of the staff person holding the token on these and the name, etc. I would suggest, and I think one of the reasons why this was included in this agenda here is first to give you a heads up on what's coming up, but also to request anyone who is interested in this to be able to help Matt in giving him feedback as he's building this, even prior to Durban. So I know that Alan and Avery, if it's okay with you, and that Matt can bounce off some ideas on this and build it up from here, that would be helpful. And of course, anyone else who is interested in this. We're not going to have a working group for this, by the way. This is very informal at this point, with Matt doing a great job in bringing this together. Right, let's move on, because I do note that the first hour of our call has passed. We are now on item number 7, the ALAC endorsement of the 2014 ALAC voting delegates to the NOMCOM. Now, there is a thing, though, with regards to this, in that this part of the call would need to be in camera, which means that it would need to be effectively only ALAC members and no recording, etc. What I suggest is that we first go through some of the other items after this, and then finish with this item, because it's going to be hard losing people and then bringing people back on afterwards. How are we feeling about this?
Yes, this is Carlton, yes.
I see Carlton is okay. Just to remind you, we're not going to have a vote. We will probably have a consensus call on those for those regions where there's we're going to have a discussion on the candidates, basically, that's it. And then afterwards we will be going on with an ALAC endorsement vote that will go on between the 2nd and the 8th of July. So the place of the discussion is today. Anyone objects to us moving this to the end of the call? There's a question if there will be NSA protection. I'm not quite sure how that would work. I think the only protection you would get is by just turning all your devices off and remaining in a cave, but that's probably not conducive to ALAC business. Right, so let's do this then and move on to item number 8 then, and we'll try and whiz through the rest of the items quite fast. So item number 8 is the new GTLD working group leadership, and that's quite a strange title, but in fact the page of the new GTLD shows you the work that the new GTLD working group has done, and also shows that there is currently a chair who is Avery Doria, who I believe is on the phone online with us. And Avery has been under an enormous amount of work, not only in the new GTLD working group, which I have to add has done an incredible amount of work. So well done to the whole group. But Avery herself has also now been a vice chair of the ATRT, and of course she also has a day job and keeps on traveling to conferences and et cetera. So unfortunately, she's feeling much of the strain, like many of our volunteers are. The suggestion was that there could be a co-chair for that working group. And as someone who's been very active in the working group, Evan Leibovich has very quickly stepped forward and suggested that he might be interested in helping out and being a co-chair. Now, of course, there are two questions. The first one is it the ALAC's job to appoint a chair and co-chairs, et cetera? And the second one being, is it the working group to do that? In fact, you could just have it as one question. Is it the ALAC or the working group? My feeling, and I'm going to answer this very quickly, is that the ALAC charters the working group, but then afterwards the working group can choose its chair if it wishes to do so. But I see people who know better than I do on this. So Carlton first and then Alan Greenberg. Carlton Samuels, go ahead.
Thank you, Olivia. It's Carlton for the transcript. We feel the same way about it. The ALAC is responsible for chartering the working group. The working group should have the competence to determine its leadership, and I think that's the way it ought to be. Thanks.
Thank you, Carlton. Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, we've done it both ways in the past. On occasion, we feel the chair is strategically important enough that we believe the ALAC should name the chair. I can't remember how we did it in this group, and I would have, regardless of how the chair was named in this one, I would have absolutely no qualms in saying if the work group wants to establish a vice chair or co-chair or whatever it is, I can't, maybe it needs to come back for a tacit ratification. We have never been that formal in the past, so I'm not sure why we should start now. So,
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Alan. So, Avery, I know you're on the call. That's your answer, I guess. I certainly don't see any bylaw or anything that says that the ALAC has to appoint chairs, vice chairs, etc. And certainly from the work that the ALAC has done in the past, usually an interim chair was appointed to start a working group, but then the working group would appoint or either confirm the interim chair afterwards or appoint its own chair later on. Any word, Avery? Are you able to speak?
She's put some notes in the chat. She's typing.
She has. Okay, perfect. So, yeah, if you can, please ask the group if they're fine with co-chairs and then work it out within the working group. That I think, is fine with the ALEC.
Olivia, this is Evan.
I don't see anyone objecting. Evan Leibovich, go ahead.
Thanks. First of all, I appreciate Aubrey's confidence and the confidence of the rest of the group, should it want to do the co-chair, and I'm happy to do that. I also wanted to make the point that, given what Alan just said, that there are some working groups that are strategically important. Given what is about to happen with what we found out earlier in this call, is that we have to investigate what's happening with things like public interest commitments and that kind of thing. There's a potential for ALAC to take a very, very prominent role in actually helping determine how these commitments are executed, how they're done. And so they're at one point going from thinking, well, does the GTLD committee have anything to do once the objections are done, to the possibility that there is a very front and center role that we may be taking, I think goes to the answer of, well, is this going to be something strategically important? I think right now this is sort of a matter of we don't know what we don't know. But it's totally conceivable that going forward that this group could become very active and very high profile. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. And I think we spent enough time on this. Oh, I see Carlton has put his hand up as well. Carlton?
Yes, this is Carlton for the transcript. I'm just endorsing what Evan says, but we have precedent in that. If you recall the applicant support working group, it started because, and we actually made some choices about the chair because we thought it was strategic, and we had succession done in that too. I don't see it as anything that should worry about. I am frankly more concerned that the issues that are assigned to the committee are within the charter, and I think the charter that we wrote for the new GTLD is sufficiently elastic to allow for all of those things, including TICs. Members will remember that my whole position on TICs is that if you don't put it in within the contract, it's a nice to have, unless it's going to be contractual obligations. And I think it's going to be a long process to work that out, and it will require some serious thinking among us to decide how we go with that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Carlton. And in closing this agenda item, I'd like to remind anyone who is not part of this working group but is interested in the new GTLD challenges that we are faced with daily, that they can join the group, of course. They're very welcome to do so. And that's not only ALAC members, but at large, anyone really out there is encouraged to join the group. I thank you for this, and let's move then to the next agenda item. That's the update from IANA with Elise Gerich, VP for IANA and Technical Operations. I believe that she might not be with us. Heidi, have we heard from her?
Thank you, Olivia. This is Heidi. No, we have not heard from her, but she is just returning from her holiday. So that's the reason. So my question to you is whether we should try and squeeze her into the very busy schedules already in Durban or ask her to be on the August ALAC call.
Thank you very much, Heidi. I do know that there are some movements at the moment as far as IANA and technical operations are concerned. Perhaps would it be helpful to see her briefly in Durban? I know how busy Durban is, though, so maybe we can follow up later on. And as you know, the scheduling of meetings and so on is often discussed on the executive committee calls. I don't want to bore the whole of the ALAC on this. So let's punt this over to the next few days. If anyone feels strongly about having an update or no update, could they please just drop me a note and we'll act accordingly. Tuesday is a possibility, yeah, well, so much. Right, let's get on with things. Let's look at number 10, and that's the review of the at-large meeting schedule, since we are speaking about Durban. And for this, I let first Heidi Ulrich take us through these.
Thank you, Olivier. So I think we're in pretty good shape for the at-large meetings. This is the agenda that's just going into the chat for all of the at-large meetings. They're going to be sent to translation today, so you'll see shortly the French and Spanish versions of those agendas. I think that really the key point at this stage are the questions. If we can move on to the next item, the questions for the meetings. I've just gone through them earlier today, and we definitely need more for the ACSO leadership questions. There are currently just three comments, and I'm not sure if they're really questions. And for the GAC, there's one question posted, and for all of the others, the ICANN board questions, the GSC questions, and the communication questions, there are no questions posted. So I think that that's something that we can really focus on, perhaps. Olivia, do you want to take it from there, and I'll come back to the others then?
Yes, thank you very much, Heidi. The floor is open for anyone who has a view right now. And the problem, of course, is we end up with no questions, and then when the meeting takes place, everyone says, well, why did we not ask questions? So we do have to ask questions. And if I don't see any questions there, then a handful of us will end up writing whatever questions we think might be the ones required, and the handful usually ends up being the XCOM. Evan Nibovich?
Hi, Olivier. Well, based on the charge I was given at the beginning of this call, I may have some things to add to quite a few of pretty soon.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan. Tijani Benjamin?
Thank you, Olivier. What is the suitable time, the suitable deadline for those questions?
Thank you, Tijani. I think it's the 1st of May 2013, which is about 2 months ago. So, these really need to be in very, very quickly. I think we're probably looking before the end of this week, and even that is probably going to be quite late, unfortunately.
Okay.
But
okay,
certainly
I will try to
we need to come in with something in our pockets.
Okay,
thanks.
I will try to look in during this this week. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. What's missing from that list is not questions, but issues that the ALAC wants to raise with the ATRT.
You're absolutely right, Alan, yes. And that's an additional set of things which we need to think quite carefully about.
The ALAC has a very limited time with the ATRT, and this is their stat. This is the opportunity for a stab at the whatever, making changes, getting changes.
Just to remind everyone, the ATRT is in listening mode, and it's the Accountability and Transparency Review Team looking at the key parts of the affirmation of commitments. Which require of ICANN full transparency and accountability, etc., and which we often hear in our ranks is missing from ICANN, the search for the public interest, etc. I understand that there was some input brought in by some at-large members that was sent to the public consultation. And this might be one of the subjects that will be discussed. The request that ICANN starts behaving as a regulator, or at least regulates its contracts. Okay, I don't wish to spend so much time on this. I mean, as you know, we're not going to get the answers right now that we need, but you have until before the end of the week, please, to seriously look at that page and add the questions and comments, and we'll put them together and send them to the required people. Next, so update on formal meetings with ACs and SOs. Heidi?
Okay, thank you, Olivier. Actually, the next several sections are going to be sort of a team effort between Gisela and myself. So for the formal meetings with the ACs and SOs, we have meetings with the GAC, with the ASO, with the board, which I know is not an AC or SO, but that's just another meeting. Gisela, I think that's it for the formal ones.
Yes. Sorry, Gisela here.
So I think that's it for the formal meetings, and then if we can move on to the informal meetings. And that this is going to be not only the ACs and SO informal meetings, but also informal meetings that we've heard the last few weeks with various groups and various staff members. So, Gisela, if we could hand that over to you, and then I'll jump in as necessary.
Yes, thank you, Heidi. Gisela here. We'll have an informal meeting with the between the NCSG and XCOM. We're still looking into dates for that. The schedule, as usual, for an ICANN meeting is fairly challenging. We also have a meeting with an informal meeting with the registrars and the XCOM. We will have going on to the working groups, we will have an Atlas II survey working group meeting, informal, as well as I do have a technology task force listed here as well.
Yes, that one is going to be, this is Heidi, that one with the TTF is going to be with Chris Giff, and that one is primarily on the Lucid issues, I believe. Dev, if that's incorrect, please correct me. Okay, Gisela?
Yes, correct. And then there was another one with regards to the small team with the capacity building, Chris Gift and Nora as well.
Okay.
Is that correct, Heidi?
Correct. Correct. So that one is going to be with Chris Gift and Nora Absupia, with people who have been working with the Academy, just basically to go over the background, the full background of the Academy, the bigger part of it, And then talk a little bit about the ACSO leadership pilots in Buenos Aires and the OEP. Now, there's going to be an informal call with Nora today with some of those people involved, but the informal meeting in Durban will allow for greater discussion and more details. Olivier? Or
okay,
is that any,
thank you.
Any questions on that? And then we'll move over to, if not, we'll move over to the fun social events being planned.
Heidi, I was just going to add, it's Olivier here, that the informal meetings are really primarily to touch on specific issues sometimes which would not be of interest to the whole of the ALAC, and certainly some of it is due to visits that we will be having. For example, I believe there's also the domains, domains association that's going to be visiting us in the ALAC room.
Yes. Actually, that's going to be, this is Heidi, that's going to be just 15 minutes, I believe, 15 to 30 minutes on Sunday.
Okay, and thank you. And that's a curious thing. We were contacted by a domains association, so it's a sort of domain industry association that is putting itself together and that basically wanted to come and talk to the ALAC. So 15 minutes a discussion with them, and then afterwards I guess we will be able to discuss informally what this association is about with the registrars later on. It should be quite interesting indeed. Let's move on with the, and quickly, move swiftly through the rest of the things, social events, etc.
Okay, Gisela, please.
Yes, Olivier Gisela here. Can you hear me?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Hello? Oh,
yes,
sorry.
Yes.
Go ahead, Gisela.
On Monday the 15th, we have the Afro-ALA showcase, which will be held from 6:30 p.m. And Tuesday, we are looking into organizing an ALAC dinner before the music night. Details will be sent out later today. I'm just working on logistics. On Wednesday evening, we have the gala event, and on Thursday, we have the closing cocktails.
Okay. Thank you very much, Gisela. Let's move on then with the next issue here, which is the update on the constituency travel request for completion of tax forms.
Olivier?
Yes, Heidi.
This is Heidi. Yeah, we've skipped over the Afro-ALA showcase. Mr. Tajani, if you wish to do that, or we can...
Gisela just mentioned it. She mentioned the Afro-ALA showcase.
Okay, well, we just wanted to talk a little bit about...
a few more. Ah, yes, please. Go ahead.
Tajani, do you want to talk about that briefly?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. So we will have a showcase in Durban, and it will be slightly different from the other showcase. I remind you that we held the showcase in Nairobi first, and then the second was in Dakar, and this is the third showcase we are organizing. And no one is the similar to the other. We are always changing, and this time we will bring in the local community, the South African end users, in this showcase, and they will be the stars of the showcase. They will be also spoke with Janice, and they will be integrated in the fellowship program. They will be also following our meetings and our activities in at large. So I think I said a lot. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. That's very helpful. And, of course, we always welcome the showcase as being the time when we recognize our volunteers and when we can actually see a lot of the local activities taking place. And Afro-ALA has been a leader in this, always pioneering the showcases. So there's one additional thing that we need to mention, and thank you, Cheryl, for reminding me. I was scratching my head before this call trying to think about the what we had missed, and that's the 10 years of the CCNSO. The CCNSO is going to have a number of events taking place. I wonder whether Cheryl is back, is with us, or is not. I was hoping she could say a few words on this. Unfortunately, not. I can't hear Cheryl at the moment. So if I could ask that an actual list of the 10-year events is going to be sent over to the ALAC list, find out what is going on, and also I haven't been contacted to be told when to attend, what to attend, etc., and I'm rather concerned about this. So I see a cocktail, which I believe is Australian for cocktail, and we'll have to get more, I guess, more information from you, Cheryl, afterwards, if we could please have, and that will be sent to the ALAC list. Let's move on quickly to the next thing, and that's going to be the update on constituency travel request for completion of tax form. As you know, their recent travel request has asked for non-US citizens to fill in a W-8BEN tax form and for US citizens to fill in a W-9 tax form. This is the first time we've ever heard of this, and there was a question as to why volunteers who are not receiving a salary would have to fill something like this and whether we can get by without filling one. Could we have an update from Heidi, please?
Yes, thank you. This is Heidi. Okay, so Alan and I have been speaking on this issue, and Alan sent several questions outlining exactly what were the concerns of the ALAC. I've been in touch over the last few weeks with finance on getting responses. There's a wiki page on the agenda now in the chat that talks about what the responses on these questions. So rather than reading them, I also had another conversation with people in finance who are working on this yesterday, and their response, they are aware of ALAC concerns, but just to basically, these are required, these forms. They are just complying with what U.S. law is, and as long as ICANN is registered in the U.S., they do need to comply with that. But basically, I was told that really all that needs to be completed on these forms are four things: your name, your address, indication that you are an individual, and your signature, and that's basically all that's required. Now, the W-8 ones will not be sent to any U.S. government agency unless ICANN is audited, and then they'll be given to those auditors, I believe. So I'm not sure if that really helps with any issue.
Yes, thank you very much, Heidi. It's Olivier for the transcript. I can actually say that I was asked to supply a W-8BEN form. I think it was when going over to Baku. So that's about six, seven months ago, and I'm still alive. So I'm glad to say there doesn't seem to have been any follow-up or any negative consequences for filling one of these. Tijani Benjamin, you have the floor.
Yes, I would like to ask Heidi, shall we receive our per diem if we don't fill in this form?
And Heidi, we cannot hear you, I'm afraid. Go ahead, Heidi.
Sorry, everyone. So I don't believe so. This is Heidi. I don't believe that you will. So again, the only four things you need to fill out in these forms are your name, address, check that you're an individual, and then sign it and mail it in.
Yes, I know it is not difficult. I know it's not a huge thing to do, but the question is, I am touching a salary from ICANN to fill in the tax form. It is strange, but I will do it if you want, but just to understand.
So again, Olivia, Tajani, this is Heidi. It's not necessarily that I want. It's
Heidi, I'm afraid we can't hear you. You're dropping off. You must be in an area of bad connectivity.
Okay, is that better?
That's better now. Yes.
Okay.
Please,
it's my headset. So okay. So again, it's the U.S. law that's requiring it. It's not a new law. It's that ICANN or the Finance Department is getting all of their requirements put into place. I think that's why. So yes. Yeah, so it is a requirement to submit these forms, but only really 4 points need to be done, and that's those 4. It's basically your name, your address, check that you're an individual, and sign it, and then complete it.
Thank you, Heidi. And I think that part of this all is all caused about the U.S. Basically making sure that no one is getting any payment that might be construed as a salary and is not paying tax on it. If you're a U.S. citizen, obviously you would have to pay tax. If you're not a U.S. citizen, you'd have to show that you are not based in the U.S. And that's just the piece of paper that ICANN can show to anyone doing an audit on ICANN and saying, well, who are these people you're paying these per diems to? Are they U.S. citizens? Are they receiving wages, et cetera, et cetera? It's just additional documentary evidence. And as you all know, at the moment, tax authorities are particularly nasty because they're looking for money. Alan, yes, and we have to close on this.
Olivier,
now past the closing time
Olivier,
for this call. Alan Greenberg, go ahead.
Yeah, Olivier, you just said if you are a U.S. citizen, and we have some of those among our volunteers, you have to pay tax on expense reimbursements and per diems?
I would say no.
That is what you just said.
If you are a U.S. citizen and you're receiving a salary, you would have to pay tax.
I understand, but we're only talking about expenses and per diems here.
Correct. But the form, I believe, the W-9 form is more complex than the W-8 form, isn't it, Alan?
I have not looked at it since it doesn't apply to me in recent decades.
I see Sebastian having put his hand up. Sebastian Bachelet.
Yes. You can hear me? Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
I hope that you will get the answer from the question raised by Alan on your behalf by Finance Department. I talk with CFO after the last discussion we had at the XCOM about that, and he told me that any country where we can try to do that, if we decide to do that in another country, we will get the same type of request for information. And it's not specific because it's US, it's because it's a request because ICANN is giving money. It's not a give, but it's not because you are reimbursed or you get per diem. The question is that of Tijani is do you will get your per diem if you don't pay. My request was as Durban is coming very, very soon, is that it's not a decision to not give you per diem or withdraw the money before Durban, even if you don't have sent the form. The objective is for everybody to send the form, but if it's not done, I hope that you will get the money before Durban. And if you have any trouble with that, please come back to me, and I will try to do my best to avoid any problem on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. That's been very helpful. I think we've now got the chance to move on then, and let's move to the items for information. We are reaching the end of this call very soon, and of course we'll still have to treat the endorsement of the 2014 ALAC voting delegates to the NOMCOM. Item number 11, update on the next
Olivier, it's Alan.
Yes, Alan.
I did have my hand up before we moved to items for information.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see it. It didn't come up. Alan, go ahead.
I have a concern that it's a week. I leave town in a week from now. I still don't know what hotel I'm staying in, and the travel constituency travel information says all of us are in a beach hotel a kilometer plus away in a city which is not particularly safe to walk in.
and a very limited per diem. I would at least like some clarity as to what hotel I'm going to be in soon. Are we ever going to find out?
Thank you, Alan. That's a good point. We probably should be able to find out from Heidi, who can contact Travel.
This is Heidi. We've been in contact with meeting staff about that. We don't have full clarity yet. It's either going to be in the Hilton, which is right next to the ICC, or in the Southern Ilani, I believe. Gisela, please correct me if I'm wrong, which is the one that's about 1.4 kilometers away. There is going to be a shuttle service, so taxis are not going to be required unless you're completely outside of the shuttle services. We're hoping that the announcement of where everyone's going to be staying is going to be obviously in the next few days, and we can ask again.
Thank you very much, Heidi. Can I just register on a person level that this is rather ridiculous, because I am flying 8 days from now, and I still don't know where I shall be staying, which is just very unprofessional. I'm really sorry, but this is just not something that you do in the last very minute. They should have known a long time ago. So please put pressure on them. Right. And I see agreement from Alan as well, yes. A number of us are not pleased with this kind of arrangement.
And a number of them will be showing up before the shuttles start.
And that's another problem. And a number of us might be even traveling to the center before the shuttles start. Anyway, let's not linger on about this. Let's find out and get an answer from staff on that. And let's move on to item number 11, update on the next beginner's guide on ALAC policy. Matt Ashtiani, you have the floor for less than 3 minutes, please.
This is Matt Ashtiani for the record, for the beginner's guide. I monitored the conversations, the chat, so the text has been updated. Also, a few people sent me personal notes on what they would like to see changed. I've kept track of all of that. So as of right now, for me, the text is as final as it could be, unless anyone else has any additional comments to raise regarding the text.
Thank you very much, Matt. By when do you need all those comments, by the way? What's your deadline on that?
I think the deadline was last Friday, actually.
it was.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. I see there is a pattern here. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. I have been a bit busy, as some of you may have seen from my email. I plan to review it. I will do it in the next day or so. I hope you'll be able to include my comments. I do make one comment here. On the cover, can we please spell it large correctly? We have a dash after the app. Thank you.
Hi, how is that? The designer is aware of that error. So I know it'll be updated. If you get it back to me in the next couple of days.
I understand it will change the symmetry of the words, but...
Sentence text is always important. But if you get it back to me in the next couple of days, that shouldn't be a problem. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We do have to move on. I'm going to ask everyone who is on the call to have a read through, because that's your time to be able to comment about it. And if you do notice anything that might need further explanation or rewriting or maybe a few additional paragraphs to be added to make the guide clearer, then please email Matt Ashtiani and let him know and do this very quickly, because it's going to be camera ready very soon. So now we have any other business, and then afterwards we will have to close the normal part of the call and go in camera for the ALAC endorsement of the 2014 voting delegates to the NUMCOM. Any other business to start with? I don't see anyone putting their hand up. Okay, well, then that means we are moving over to agenda item number 7, the ALAC endorsement of the 2014 ALAC voting delegates to the NOMCOM. This part of the call will take place in camera, which effectively means that the recording will be stopped and that we will unfortunately have to ask anyone who is not at-large advisory committee members or liaison to go off the call because it is an ALAC matter, and we'll be discussing, unfortunately, we will be discussing candidates, and whenever one discusses candidates, the discussions do go behind closed doors. Of course, that's to protect the candidates themselves.
If I could ask staff, do we really have the ability to know who's on Adobe? Who's on Adigo, rather?
I believe that Gisela has a list of everybody who is on Adigo. I thank all of you who are leaving us now. I see Eduardo has put his hand up. Eduardo Diaz, please go ahead.
Yes, this is Eduardo. Okay. This is Eduardo for your record. I just want to know if this call is going to be recorded when we are discussing the candidates.
No, it is not.
Okay, thank you.
But we will restart the recording afterwards. Okay, could we stop the recording, please? And could I ask anyone who is not ALAC to, I guess, leave or...
Olivier, the record gets Gisela. The recording is back on.
Thank you very much, Gisela, and welcome back. We are back on the call. This is Olivier Crépin-Leblanc for the transcript.
This is Olivier Crépin-Leblanc for the transcript.
And I'm hearing myself at the moment, if I could please. Be muted. Or not me, but the speaker, thank you. I'm sorry, I'm still hearing myself, and it's someone's speaker is speaking back to me. That's probably better. Okay, thank you. So welcome back. The ALAC has discussed agenda item number 7, the ALAC endorsement of the 2014 ALAC voting delegates to the NOMCOM. The time allocated for this discussion was 15 minutes. The ALAC spent most of 45 minutes, maybe more than 45 minutes on this. Such was the debate, the level of the debate regarding the different candidates. And it was very, we've reached a conclusion, effectively. For Afralo, Fatimata Seye Sela, who was the only candidate put forward by Afralo, will remain as the only candidate for the consensus vote that will be taken of the ALAC on the Afralo delegate. On APRALO, the ALAC has decided to have Ali Al-Michel, Gunella Asprink, but also an additional candidate, Satish Babu, which is conditional on that additional candidate accepting the nomination and providing a full SOI. And so the ALAC will vote between these three candidates. For EU RALO, Veronica Cretu was the only candidate that was put forward by EU RALO, and the ALAC has decided to keep that candidate and therefore have a consensus call or consensus vote on that candidate. For LAC RALO, out of the five candidates that were put forward in alphabetical order, three candidates were retained, and those are Carlos Aguirre, Humberto Carrasco, and Vanda Scartazzini. And so the ALAC will vote between those three candidates. And for Naralo, only one candidate was put forward by Naralo, and that's Louis Hull. No additional candidate was suggested by the ALAC. So Louis Hulls will be the only candidate to vote on, although Louis Hull will have to provide an SOI, this needs to be confirmed by staff as soon as the SOI is received. The candidates will be given, Louis Hull will be given 24 hours to supply that SOI. The vote will start at 23:59 on the 3rd of July, which is roughly more than just over 30 hours, or 28 hours from now or so. And that's a very rough approximation. I must be wrong when I do this quickly. Anyway, so that's the feedback from this section. And this ends our ALAC call. I thank everyone on this call for this very, very long time that we have spent today. The time is 16:54 UTC, nearly 1700, which makes it probably one of the longest ALAC calls that we have had so far. So I thank all of you who have been on the call, and I therefore declare this call to be adjourned. Thank you very much to all of you, and bye-bye. See you all in Durban, and I'm getting it right this time. It's Durban. It's not Beijing. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Adios.
Bye-bye,
all.
Safe trip. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye. The meeting has been adjourned and the audio will now be disconnected. Thank you all for joining.
There are only one people in this conference. This call will be disconnected unless you press 88 now.